I was standing in the back, I saw this sapling start to grow up, and as I was waiting on the Lord, I asked him, I said, what is this? And the Lord said that there's a creative miracle in the room this morning for new birth. And then I asked him, I said, what do you mean? And he said, things that seem dead, things that seem lost, there's a moment in God right now where recompense and reward, where God's creating a miracle. That which it seemed the enemy has stolen, the Lord's going to return back to you. Money, time, relationships. Come on, there's a moment in God right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every other name. Wow. Father, we release the creative miracle of new birth, of new things, God. God, we speak to those things that seem dead, that seemed lost. We speak to those dry bones, God. We command them to live, Lord. I'm telling you right now, some situations, some relationships. I keep seeing relationships that have been broken. Situations where Satan has stepped in and ruined a relationship, but God is breathing life on that once again. Come on, there's a moment in here where you can ask God and God will restore. Come on, God wants to restore that relationship. Father, right now, that which has separated, Father, right now make it new. Wow. Come on, something is changing in the supernatural right now. Relationships that have been broken and cut off. I'm telling you, you're about to get calls from people that you haven't talked to in a long time. Things that have grieved you, God's going to bring healing in. God's going to bring restoration. For he says, such a time as this. I'm seeing supernatural resources right now. Like a job. Like when I walk there, I said, like jobs lost. Or even finances that have been lost because of a job. And then I heard the Lord say that he's going to create a miracle where he's going to restore those resources. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, that which was lost in battle, that which was lost where the enemy came against us, Father, you said in your word, there's recompense and reward. Father, restore right now in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, something is happening in the supernatural right now. I'm attaching your faith to that thing. You know what it is. I'm telling you, God is going to start bringing supernatural resources back to you. Where you just get checks in the mail. Where things and situations seem like they were cut off. I'm telling you, God's opening doors right now. Wow. Wow, come on. God, this is a moment where he's making new. Something that was lost, something that was forgotten, something that was seemed dead. God is making new. I don't know what that is for you today. But I tell you, there's the creative miracle power of Jesus Christ in this room. Wow. Come on, attach your faith to this. Because God is moving by his Spirit right now. Come on. Wow. I don't usually say, but God, I just keep hearing say, don't miss this. Don't miss this, because God wants to, he wants to release it over your life. Father, right now, God, every creative thing that you want to release, Lord, over our lives, loose it now, God. Wow. Come on, right there, pull it down. Wow, attach your faith to it right there. Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the word. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And as you speak it forth through your vessels, we thank you for them. We thank you for our praise and worship as we worship you, Lord. You said that you would be here inhabiting the praises of these kids on the front row, this gang here, us as not spectators, we're praising him and worshiping him. And I just hear in the spirit that God is wanting us to fight, and the word fight was emphasized, fight the good fight of faith. And faith is something that sometimes you cannot see. It's not a feeling. When you walk in faith, you feel good. It's still not a feeling. It's a substance, amen? And I was thinking when we were worshiping and the word of the Lord comes, it's a substance. God has called us to be men and women of the word of God, the Bible. And that's a substance that out of heaven came Jesus Christ. We did too, in some senses. God created us in his image, his likeness. And God's a fighter. And what we're fighting for is freedom. And we've had these last month, we've been going through and looking at the Constitution, looking at different things of our own country. And you know, it hasn't always been easy. Hasn't always just been, but you could just as well fight a good fight with God and in country. And we believe in God. And upon this rock, God will build countries, he'll build families, he'll build all these things if we will trust in him and have faith towards him. Amen. So if you're going to get in a fight, do it with the enemy of your soul, not anyone else. And I was thinking about that, all the countries and all of the disagreements we have in countries and everything. And you know what? If you laid all that down, just laid it down, because it doesn't seem to ever do much good except cause more problems. But if you would pick up Jesus Christ, the one that makes the difference, the very first day that I believed, when I picked up Jesus, changed everything. Amen. And then you can look at other countries. You can look at other situations, and it's no problem because Jesus is Lord over every situation. Jesus is King over everything in the world that we're living in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God bless you today. I hope he just does some great, wonderful things in your life here this morning. And thank you, praise and worship team. That was fantastic. Wow. Yeah, that was good. I was thinking about running, you know, when you started singing that song. I'm running after him. What a powerful thought. Running after Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't think he's running away from us, so you probably will catch up with him and he'll give you the download that you need. Hallelujah. Well, we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God with our tithes and our offerings. First day of the week, which is a Sunday, we have an opportunity for the blessings that God has given us this last week, as far as with tithes and offering, or last month, whatever. So if you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church, and God bless you in your giving. Amen. And kids, we have Sunday school. Yes, kids. So we have Sunday school, so you're dismissed. Yeah. Trust in God and obey your teachers. I was thinking as the kids were leaving when that one song was coming, running. If that's the run, they were running good. Hallelujah. All right. You may be seated, yeah. Well, good morning. Hallelujah. I was talking with Deb today, and she was just saying how they have a camp right across from Itasca, and how many people are out, you know, trying to get that last month in, and the place is filled and everything, and that's cool. And so when they come back, we've been here, and they'll come and they'll enjoy what God's doing on the earth. We have several areas. One area probably in the body here is several people have been sick. Several people have just fought some real crazy stuff. And so we're standing in the gap, especially Linda and Danny. They were going to attend a funeral in Jamestown, and they got out there, and Linda got sick and ended up in Fargo. Airlifted from Jamestown to Fargo, was that right, Sarah? Yeah, I was thinking that. So you can be lifting them up. We have some other people in the body that is, they're doing all right, but we need to lift them up in prayer. Amen. So, Father, we do lift up the body of Christ, not only here, but beings that we represent this body. We ask, Lord, for a divine touch of the Holy Spirit. And God, your blood has not lost its power. The power of Jesus Christ and his blood is still the very day the blood was shed. It did not lose its power and has not lost its power and will not lose its power. So we trust that the blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross has not lost anything of the power that it came to do from heaven. And I like it from heaven because then you can't put it, you know, from the come on in or something like that. Yes. Good to see you, Diane.
Good to be here.
Yes.
I wanted, in light of you mentioning about the Constitution, we've had some awesome victories for Christ in our nation with the nomination of a Supreme Court justice who would uphold, I'm sure, getting Roe versus Wade turned around. We talked about that from the beginning. I remember reviewing that sermon that I gave. I said, we can do this. God can bring up another Supreme Court justice and we can get original intent, and look at that has happened. So we need to remember, it's not church, separation of church and state. That is not accurate. That's never part of the forefathers' desires. It was their desire that the church and the government be together, but not having the government obviously tell us what to do. They were strong men of God who had all the news come out of the pulpit. And I was excited to see Franklin Graham interviewed on Fox News and spoke that out clearly. He said, you know, for 150 years, the church was the one that spoke politics in the church. The church spoke from the pulpit, the politics of the day, and would by name say those that were good and which were not good, meaning which ones upheld the biblical standards and which didn't. So again, we're on the forefront. We're riding the wave. You know, we pray for these nations, you know, like Nicaragua. We pray for them, their governments. Well, now we're on the edge with our government, and we have, and we're listening to the prophetic voices, and the prophetic voices are saying awesome things about what's going to happen. So I'm excited. So be in prayer with you and your families. Young people, they're going to start, President Trump, I almost leaped off my seat when he said they're going to start teaching patriotism back in schools. Pray for that. It's going to change their worlds. It's going to change their worlds. It's going to be this generation that we grew up in. It's going to be different for them. They're going to have prayer back in the schools. It's going to be an atmosphere, not where they're reading the Bible all 8 hours, but they're going to have prayer back in school. Where is that atmosphere?
Hallelujah.
I mean, we're speaking things that we thought were never, but that's the way it used to be before 1920 It used to be that way. So come on. We're going to pray. We're the warriors. We're the fighters.
Yeah.
We're looking to God, but we have to take our place.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that with you. It's so awesome.
Very good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Diana. I really appreciate that. It's been really eye-opening, some of the history that the United States and the congressmen and the leaders way back when, even talking about that, probably the greatest thought was a Bible was created or made for the school system. You know, and I'm thinking, well, gee. And it wasn't, you know, somebody that thought it was a good idea or a godly man or godly woman. There apparently was godly men, godly women that said it's worth having the Word of God. And so the Congress, was it the Congress and the Senate, and they put that together? Yeah, how cool is that? You know, so it's actually, you know, we're always blaming the government for something. We could blame them for that, and that was the best thing that we could ever have, is that the Bible would have been made for our kids and our families. And find out that when you need it, you really need it. But we need that every day. We need it every day. We need it for our kids. We need to pray with our kids and believe that God is the God of heaven and earth, and he's the God of godly moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and all these things. And you know what? He's the God also of the joy of the Lord. And you know, whatever you go through, if you can take the joy that God offers us, it's a great thing. Amen. And so I just want to release for this next week for all of us the joy of the Lord. Do you want to report? Had Steve Mianje from Uganda. He sent pictures to Danny and Linda, and so the first well is being drilled, probably is done right now in Uganda. So that's pretty cool. Hallelujah. And that was just an idea last fall. And then we had another great idea is let's drill another one. And so they already have a place for another well, and I think we're maybe $3,000 into that. And this last well cost $10,000. But I was thinking, how many people are going to be drinking, Tom, out of that well? Just think of the kids. You remember when they came? And we had 700, 800 teens, and then we had 800 moms and daughters, and they all gathered. And man, you know, to see clean water, to see the blessings, what God can do when we all work together is very, very powerful. We're better together. Amen. Amen. And together we can do much more than anything that we can do by ourselves. So, praise the Lord. Well, we have Pastor Tom. He's going to be sharing with us. I do appreciate Tom and Jen and the workings there. They're also working with the kids in the in our children's sanctuary. And I just really believe that as we have probably six or seven things that we're really wanting to accomplish as far as the church here in the next season of time, probably 8-9 months. One's Bible college. We have that. That's just, we just need to click it and it'd be up and running. And also with single women, with children, we're also really working in that realm. The Lord showed me many years ago, and I have been here for many years, he showed me that there was 500 to 600 kids, wives and kids, and they were single. Dads are not in the picture anymore, and in this area. So I believe that when he shows us stuff like that, we need to act on it. And Diane and David are working in that realm too. So we're excited about it. So we love the people that are working here, and the church. We appreciate all of the things that are going on, the daycare. We appreciate all the stuff that's going on there. And I appreciate the United States of America, where we can live a life that is so great and so wonderful. And I appreciate you big time, Tom. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning. Wow. Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Come on. Man, you come into a place, God, I thank you for your word that has already been spoken, the prophetic, God, which was just being moved as Jeff was prophesying to us, Lord, and I just thank you, Father God, that every word that's been spoken in every place, Lord God, would take root in our hearts, Father, Lord Jesus, and would produce fruit that would glorify your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, it seems like it's been a while since we last spoke. There's been a lot of things that have gone on. I just wanted to kind of lay out. When Dave Wagner came, he said, you know, a big part of the church is to be an equipping place for people, you know? And we work in children's ministry. Jennifer and I have been working in children's ministry for the past 2 years. And one of the things we really got powerful is that we would equip this next generation in terms of identity, that they know who they are. And the premise comes from that when you know who you are, you know how to stand in every situation. And there's nothing that's trying to attack us more on children right now is identity. Who they are in Christ. Who God is for them. A child of God. Well, what does that mean? And what does that mean? What am I equipped with? So it's really been a strategic challenge to work with children. And it's actually a great delight to say, hey, this is who you are in Christ. Really, this is who you are in Christ. This is what God did for you. You are a child of God. And because you are a child of God, these are the things that belong to you as a child. It's not about performance. It's about identity. And once you know who you are in Christ, you can respond in kind. So I just, this last 2 weeks, I went and I was going to replace some carpet in my, as an example of equipping, I was going to replace carpet in my son's room. And I went around and there are these tack strips all around, and they were super glued to the concrete. And the glue was, like, really, really hard. I mean, I was taking a chisel and a hammer, and I was pounding, and I went into the guy. I said, you know, he said, you got to pull those out because I want you to put something else in there. It was just a sticky tape, and then you lay the carpet on top. And I said, man, I got to pull out those tack strips. This is a problem. So I began to talk to the guy. I said, how in the world do you get them tack strips off of the concrete? Deb, it's like concrete stuck to concrete, then to wood, and you're chipping these little pieces off. So he took me to the back room, and he says, I haven't shown many people this, but I want to show you something. He showed me this power scraper, and I go, oh, yeah, that's going to work. He said, don't tell too many people, but I want you to take that. I want you to take it home and try that out. So we got it in there, and I had my son Toby over there. I said, this is your room, so here's the tool, and I showed him how to use it, and the thing vibrated a lot, but once you got a corner underneath there, you just push that thing and it would just pop right off. So instead of being on my hands and knees chiseling piece by piece, which would have took me hours to do, I'm standing up and I'm pushing this thing, Deb, and they're just popping right out, right? It's like, woo, praise the Lord, right? Right. So I want to talk today about equipping. And I want to talk about two things. You know, we're in a political season, and I was listening to a political person, and he was saying, we are becoming a reactionary country instead of a responding country, okay? There's two different things. There's one that just reacts, and then there's another that responds. And I really wanted to define those two things because I believe we're supposed to be a responding church. I believe the word of the Lord is powerful, but it demands a response. Right? One of the greatest tragedies, as Deb was talking and as Diane was sharing too, Deb, I was going to say Diane, but as she's sharing, one of the biggest things the enemy's trying to rob is our identity, is to rob our focus that there was a creator, that you were created. Because if you rob the creation, then there's no design. And if you rob design, then there's no purpose. And if there's no purpose, there's no meaning, and there's no law, and there's no accountability. That means anything can happen and everything can happen. It doesn't matter. So that's what the enemy is trying to do. There is no God. There is no responsibility. There is no plan. There is no calling. You just make up whatever you want, and that creates a reactionary environment. Right? Did you hear about Linda? Oh, no, she's sick. Oh, no, and then we could just talk about sickness and how terrible it is. That's a reactionary mindset, right? But God is wanting us to respond. Jesus came on this earth to empower us, to equip us, hallelujah, to be responders, right? To respond to situations. Lord, right now we lift up Linda and we release the angels of God. We speak health and life to her body now in the name of Jesus. You feel that? That's a response. a reaction is, oh, poor Linda. You could stay that way. You come into politics, how many people talk about politics, but just talk about the terribleness of politics? And the church is called to respond. Okay, so I want to talk about those two differences, and I have a clip to kind of explain that. But I think of first responders. You guys know who first responders are? They come into a situation, they're trained, they're equipped, and they're prepared to do something with the situations. And then you have people who react, right? Who just stand there and watch. And they say, man, what's going on here? What's happening to this person? What's happening to this person? An example of reaction and responding comes in, I'm going to be in Matthew 8 today. And we know this story, but I think it's a great example of a reaction versus a response. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 and 27, we know this story about Jesus in the boat. And this is a great example. Now, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And then suddenly, a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered in waves. But he was asleep. And then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Okay, so they're on the boat, and the waves are going, and things are sinking, right? And they could die. How many know that right now there's crisis in America where there could be a fearful reaction to something that is happening? And right now, the enemy is dependent and wanting people to be reactionary. And I was talking to just a gentleman last week. He says, if we can set up this world where people are more reactionary than responding, we can dictate and make them give up freedoms and part of their life because they're wanting security, right? I just want this to stop. I'm going to give this up. But if there are responders in this earth who are going to stand up, right, and begin to heal these people and begin to do signs, wonders, and miracles like Jesus wanted to equip us to it, what's going to happen? Wow, what's going to happen? We're responding to a pandemic. We're not reacting, but we are responding. And we have been equipped. Jesus said, listen, he goes, what's going on? Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? Right? He's saying, after all these things in life, situations and things are going to come up, but you are to respond by faith, right? And if we go back in that very same chapter, just a little bit earlier, we get to talk about a centurion, right? There was a centurion, and let's just go back to verse 5 through 13, just back a few verses. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. And he said, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word. Say word. Just say the word. Right? And my servant, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. He is making a remarkable comparison. He recognizes that Jesus has authority. And all he has to do is speak. This morning, we just heard the word of God. And he spoke. And he had authority. And he has authority, right, to speak. Just say the word. How important is the word? And my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with a soldier under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Wow. I do say wow. You know why I say wow? Because that is the most revelation, powerful thought and comparison that this centurion Gentile had just made. And truly, Jesus, when he heard this, he was amazed. Now, think about this. Jesus was amazed. What did Jesus do? Dude walked on water. He healed the sick. He did all these things, right? But he was amazed at what? He was amazed at such great faith. He says, I say to you that many will come from the east and west, right? But he said, go on to verse 12, but the subjects of the kingdom will throw aside. So he's talking about how the power of this revelation was given to a Gentile. Look at his face. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you would believe it would. And at that very moment, his servant was healed. Who is talking to you? Who is talking to you? Who is speaking to us this morning as the prophet spoke? Who is speaking to you? Was it the word from God? Does he have authority? Absolutely. He has all power and authority. So when God speaks, right? How important is it to know his word? Come on, how important is it to be equipped knowing his word, right? To be equipped in faith, to believe in the one who sent us. This is why it is so important, hallelujah, to know your identity, right? And I want to make the distinctions between the two, right? Reactionary people, what are they moved by? They're moved by their surroundings, right? People who respond, they move their surroundings. Come on. Jesus moved his surroundings. When all that information was coming at him, he stood and he spoke to the storm. And he said to his disciples, why you have little faith? I want you guys to speak to the storm. When people are sick, I want you guys to pray for the sick. When you're going through something, I want you to realize who you are and who I am with you. And I want us to partner together right now to do a miracle, because that's throughout the whole Bible. Men and women of God in circumstances that seem impossible. How many are in an impossible situation? How many people think right now that there's constant trauma and there's no way out, or it just seems like this is a very difficult situation? You look at the road out there, it's worse than it was before. When are they going to pave that thing? Right? You look at the situation and Deb, you can feel hopeless. But what is the word? Say the word. God, say the word. What was the word this morning? That he was coming to heal, to restore. Did he say recompense of reward? When God says recompense of reward, that means he's bringing restoration to that which the enemy stole to you. How are you going to respond to that? Or we could just react. Well, that was interesting. What does recompense mean? I don't know. What time do the Vikings play? Oh, let's go. Right? The reactionary person. Doggone road. Reactionary. Focusing on the problem. What's the problem? They're not fixing the road. Responding. Focusing on the possibilities. What are the possibilities? That this house, people are going to be healed. Heaven's going to respond. Did Jesus heal the sick? Do you believe in healing? Are we equipped to heal? So praise God that there are sick people, otherwise there'd never be no miracles. You say, really? Yeah, rejoice. Because we're going to be a healing station. It's up there. It's places of what? Hope and healing? Who said that? Did God say that, Deb? Did I say that? Did God say that? What did God say about you? What did God say? That's why we get into prophetic words with your children. What is God saying about you? You got this young girl and says, you are going to be a healer. You are going to be who restores relationships, right? So you know what she should think about? What's it like healing people? And if people are sick, let's lay hands on them and pray. Because I got a word, right? So we're training your children to respond. We're training your children. Response comes from your identity of who you are, right? Focusing on the possibilities. Reactionary people are motivated by fear and worry. Right? Think about it. Think about what's happening right now in our country with this pandemic. Just think about all the fear and worry out there, right? Makes you sick, right? It's like, come on. Right? That's reactionary. Responding people, right, are motivated by love and joy. Come on. That's why I love that song, Run to the Father. Come on. Jesus revealed his biggest secret on what he does is because he says, I see the Father, and what the Father does, I do. And the biggest thing we're going to talk about responders right now is that is your most important thing. Right now. Right now. No matter what you've gone through, no matter what's happening in your life right now, it is the Father in you that dictates how you're going to respond. My ability to respond is a reflection of my trust and faith in the Lord. A reactionary person will always blame everything else. Well, I've been mistreated. You don't know what I've been through. I promise you somebody does. Deb, I know he does. Jesus went through so much more than we ever will. And he's one that can definitely relate. I may not, but I know he can. Okay? So he's the one that's relating to you right now. He knows what it's like to be left. He knows what it's like to abandon. He knows what it's like to have loss. Right? So he can relate, but he also can equip and empower, right? And to lift up and raise, okay? So I want to show this clip, okay? So this is a crazy clip, all right? So this is what reactionary people do who are not equipped, okay? It's crazy. It's chaotic. It's a mess, all right? And there's some things in the world that are a mess. So this guy in this clip, I'm going to set it up for you, is trying to teach people how to respond. But when he's teaching people, he puts them literally in a situation where it creates a panic, just like the people on the boat. So I'm going to show this clip. It's pretty crazy, but just know that the illustration is these are reactionary people trying to do something with something that has happened. Are you ready? All right, this is some training.
Last week, I gave a fire safety talk, and nobody paid any attention. It's my own fault for using PowerPoint. PowerPoint is boring. People learn in lots of different ways, but experience is the best teacher. Today, smoking is going to save lives. Smell anything smoky?
Did you bring your jerky in again?
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Fire!
Oh, fire! Oh my goodness! What's the procedure? What do we do, people?
The birds are dead.
Oh, how did that happen?
It's out in the hall.
No, we don't know that. The smoke could be coming through an air duct.
Oh my god! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Wait,
calm down!
No, Michael, no! Touch the handle. If it's hot, there could be a fire in the hallway.
What does warm mean?
Oh my gosh,
not a viable option. What next?
Don't try!
Go to the other door.
Oh, here's a door. Check that one out. How's the handle?
It's warm.
Okay, go to the back door.
Well, another option. Jeez, okay, settle down, everyone. No,
come on.
Leave it, woman!
Get out of the way. Go, go, go!
No, things can be replaced, Phyllis. People. Human lives, however, can...
Ah, my hand! That's hot!
This one's hot, too!
Okay, we're trapped! Everyone for himself!
Okay,
let's go! Let's go! Get out of the way!
Okay. Have you ever seen a burn victim? Okay, procedure. Excellent option. Where do we go, folks? Use a what to cover the mouth? A what? A rag! A damp rag, perhaps. Let's remember those procedures. What are the options?
Okay. Oh,
that's the wrong way. We've already tried that. Remember your exit points. Exit points, people. What's next?
Oscar! Stay alive. I'm getting help.
Pull me up.
You're too heavy.
I only weigh 82 pounds. Save Bandit.
How about 911? Anyone? 911.
What do we do?
use this surge of fear and adrenaline to sharpen your decision making.
Okay, I am not dying here. Come on.
What is that?
The fire is shooting at us!
Look at the name of God!
Attention! Employees of Dunder Mifflin! This has been a test of our emergency preparedness. There is no fire, it was only a simulation.
What?
Fire, not real, this was merely a training exercise. So, what have we learned? Oh, come on, it's not real, Stanley. Don't have a heart attack.
No,
you will not die. Stanley, you will not die. Stanley, Baraki's president. You are black, Stanley.
I'm gonna give him mouth to mouth.
No, don't give him mouth to mouth for this.
You just swallow his tongue. Open your mouth!
Michael!
Swan, don't swallow it! I'm fine! Leave me alone! Save him!
There you go. What not to do. You know, in reality, inside, sometimes we feel that way, right? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? You know, on the inside, you feel that chaos when it comes, well, when you hear somebody sick, your heart can drop, right? When you hear of something bad that has happened in relationships, or I don't want to address them, your heart can drop. And God is really wanting to build us in confidence and joy, really. He wants to reassure us that you have a word. This church has a word. Deb has a word. Every one of you have a word, and you have the promises in the Bible, right, that have equipped us to handle that. When Abraham was old, he's very old, he's 100 years old, and his wife was 90, he was promised from a word from God that he would be the father of many nations. And he believed God at his word. And when all this stuff goes on in life, we take God at his word, even though I don't feel like it, right? Even though I might not see what I want to see, I have something much more powerful than what's going on around me. I have a word spoken for Almighty God who has spoken. And with that word, he created the universe. With that word, he brought the dead to life. With that word, Deb, he resurrected the dead. With that word. And that very word that was spoken this morning, that very song that was running to the Father, was the Father speaking his word over your life. And the centurion knew that man had authority. So when he spoke, something was, all you have to do is say the word. I want to tell you this morning that you have a word. Community Church, you have a word. Every individual in this room has a word. And it's been given to you by the Almighty Father. And we are to respond because we know that we know that we know who God is. And when he says I'm beautiful, which I'm not doubting that. Sorry. But some of us struggle with that. When he says you are mighty, we struggle with that. When he says that I have a plan and a good plan for you, we struggle with that. The reactionary people can be unsure, easily moved, blown by the wind. Did you see these people, right? Why not get a fire extinguisher? You know, nobody rang the alarm bell, right? Nobody rang, even tried to ring the alarm bell. Hey, something's going on, warning in the spirit. What do we do? How do we respond? Prayer's good, Deb. The responding person is confident, secure, on a solid footing, the rock, which is Jesus. A reactionary person is looking for somebody to do something, right? Somebody do something. But the responding people is moving in purpose, right? To accomplish the assignment. We are people of purpose. Your children are people with a purpose and a calling, right? A reactionary person is willing to give up freedom to save their own life, right? You remember that scripture? They that seek to save their life will lose it. For security. But a responding person is willing to lay down their life for freedom. Reactional people hopes in that their performance, right, will give them acceptance. So if I perform well, I'll be accepted. If I don't, I'll be rejected. So there again, that's fear motivated. Responders know who they are. They are accepted because of who they are, and it's not because of their performance, right? It's because of who they are. You know, one of the most damaging things that could ever happen to a responder is a tragedy gone wrong, or if they were unable to save somebody. And I think this is the same thing in the spirit. As spiritual people, it is our hope and desire that everyone we minister to, or everything that we do, goes well. And it's disappointing when people don't make it, or when we lose somebody that's very special to us. And responders have to go through this. They have to figure out what to do with disappointment. Because sometimes when we go through disappointment, we begin to question things. And one of the most damaging things that I want to share that can happen to responders happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. And I just want to share this real quick. In Genesis 3:1, it said, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field, which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said?'" Listen to what he's questioning again. He's questioning God's word. He's trying to create a thing where you doubt God, where you don't trust God. Watch what he does. He said, "Did God really say that? You shall not eat of every tree in the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but not this one." And you guys know the story, "You shall not eat." But the serpent said, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat it, you will be, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Something is putting doubt between me and God. And when you go through drama, and when you go through a difficult situation, the most damaging thing that can happen to any one of us is that we begin to doubt God. We begin to question God's motives. We begin to question what God is doing. You know, I've dealt with loss in my life, and my wife and I have dealt with loss in our life and disappointment, very much disappointment. We lost a son named Max. We didn't really lose him. He just moved. We know that now. But I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest things, because my expectations for his life are here, and then what happened was another thing. And how you deal with disappointment is very crucial for first responders. Because if first responders go through a traumatic experience and don't deal with it correctly, they'll never want to do it again. They just want to be reactionary. And many of us believers right now here who are called to be responders at one time were responding but can be wounded by a disappointing outcome. Now, as a pastor, I would love to tell you every reason why everything had, but I don't know everything. I don't know, but I have a word. And I know your father, and Sarah, when you sing that song, and I want you to sing it again, if you would, please. But running to the Father was so crucial for me in my development and my strength and my trust in the Lord. I remember one evening knowing that I had this internal battle of dealing with disappointment because I didn't understand. And the questions that come up, the enemy, does God really care? Does God really out there? Why would he allow this to happen to me? Why would God put me in this kind of situation? I trusted him for this outcome. And so many different things go through your mind. So I remember turning to the Father. Because my back, in a way, I wanted to turn away from the Father. Because I was upset with him. I was upset with him because there was something happened that I did not like. And I'm going through something I didn't. So I wanted to turn my back on him. I said, "No, you could have done something you didn't." And I remember being in my basement. I knew in my spirit that my Father was still there. You know, God is love. He's patient. He's gentle. He's kind. And he's just waiting. He's not condemning. He's just waiting. And I remember being in my basement. And I remember the time just thinking, I was going, "God, I cannot go on like this." Because it was dark. And you know when you're in a dark place spiritually. And you know when you're in a dark place and you can just feel it coming around you. And I could feel it. I said, "Man, God, I can't. I know I can't do this." I said, "You got to do something here. Because in my heart, there's something that comes between us." And when Adam and Eve did what they did, immediately they turned their back on the Father. Because they were ashamed and are upset and just all that. And when we do that, it damages us. But when I reached out and I said, "God, you got to do something here. because I feel like I'm in a dark place. And I remember him speaking to me. Not many times I hear his voice like this, but he spoke to me. And he asked me a question. And when God asks you a question, it's just, he says, do you trust me? And I was just, well, yeah, of course, which I don't know if I really did at the time, but I wanted to just say yes. But I said, do you trust me? And the second thing he said is, this is not over. See, so many times when we go through situations and drama, we think that's it. That's over. But we don't have an eternal mindset about what God's really doing. I don't see it all, though, Deb. And Abraham didn't see it all either. In fact, Abraham didn't see much of anything, in a way. He didn't see all his kids. He didn't see all those generations. But he believed God at his word. And if God says to me, it's not over, and in my mind I think it's over, you know what? It's not over. And I don't know what all that is, but I trust him. And I believe him. Some of you have been through some drama, some situations, and you, the lying thing of the enemy would say, it's over and it's done. And God would say, it's not over. You need to know eternal concepts. And when you read that in Hebrews, and I recommend reading Hebrews 3, or I believe when it's talking about faith, he says, there is such a cloud of witnesses on our behalf. Now, I don't know exactly the extent of it, but I know this. My ability to respond is leaning on my faith and my trust in God's word. My ability to respond right now to the situations that are going on in America is dependent on my trust in his word, trust in who God is for me and who he can be for me right now. My confidence in him grows when I face situations and I look to him and I lift my eyes up. You know, one of the words in the beginning there was to look up, look up. Look up, look up. And it was before all this pandemic, Jake, happened. All of it, Sarah, before it ever happened. He said, look up. He said, look up. Right? Look to the Father. Look to the Father. Run to the Father. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Hallelujah. I believe in healings. I believe in miracles. I believe the word of the Lord, that this place is a house of hope and healing. And as the word went out this morning, when Jeff was talking about restoration, there is a place in a dramatic experience that the enemy come in and put doubt about who you are and your identity, right? Right at that spot in that place. And we question him, Sarah, could you sing that song for me, please? I just want us to sing this song. Because this song is so profound about running to the Father. It is a healing song. It is a miracle-working song. It's a restoration song. It's a setting aside and looking up and saying, okay, God, I know what I think, but I don't want to be a reactionary person. I want to be a person who responds. As a father, I want to be one who responds. I don't want to just react. I don't want to avoid drama because, you know, when drama comes, God, I want to respond like you responded. I want to be strong like you were strong. Jesus, as you face these situations, God, we need a miracle. We need a miracle in the United States of America. And guess what? One has already been made to order. One has already been cooking in your life. One has already been prepared. It's called Sons and Daughters of the Most High God, who are the ambassadors, who are the messengers, who have been equipped to share the gospel. And as one of the words that was spoken earlier, it said God was going to remove those things that hold us back. God was going to completely remove all those things that tend to hold us back that we get caught up in. And there's things in our lives, perceptions about ourselves, feelings about ourselves, trauma that has happened in our lives that we continue to go to that we have to get totally healed from. And hear the word of God. And run to the Father and say, all right, God, I was listening to a testimony about a woman who had been abused 40 years ago. She had been abused terribly. And she had gone through counseling. She had gone through all those things. But she said it wasn't till 35 years later that she stopped and got on her knees. And she looked to the Lord and she says, God, you got to heal me. It was 35 years later she received her healing and restoration. She was up every night when the lights went out. She was scared to be alone. She was scared to go on the streets. She was afraid because of what had happened to her. It took, after 35 years, she looked to the Father. And the Father healed her. The Father restored her. All that time, she wrote a book, and right now she is testifying of the goodness and the greatness of the love of God, changing thousands of lives. Hallelujah. In a moment of time, the Lord has restored unto her all the things that the enemy tried to steal. Because at one moment, she lifted her head up to the sky, and she looked to the Father of heaven, and she ran to him and said, Father. And that's who our God is. He's a restorer. He's an equipper. Hallelujah. He's a redeemer. He's an overcomer. Hallelujah. He's a lover. Hallelujah. Right now, as Sarah begins to sing, I just want to pray. Why don't we all stand this morning? And if there's that one thing that keeps coming back to you from the past, the one thing that is holding you back, I want you to sing this song, and I want you to lift it up to the Father. Because no more. It's not going to be 35 years. It's not going to be even 35 minutes. Father God, we're going to take that which has been trying to hold us down, and we're going to look to the Father, and we're going to surrender it to you this morning, Lord Jesus. No more. Come on. No more reaction. No more reaction, Father God. Put me in the response. Father God, equip. Hallelujah. Restore. Lord Jesus, I respond, hallelujah, to the Father this morning. So as we sing this song, just think about that thing and give it to the Father. Sarah.
Done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to you, Father, again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, oh. I run to the Father.
Oh, yeah.
Father God, with our hands lifted high, Lord. Father God, I pray for the mother. I pray for the heart of the mother, Lord Jesus. God, help her to become a responder. Father God, lift us up, Lord Jesus, that we can respond to our children, that we can respond in our identity. Lord, families right now, I see women, hallelujah, equipped with the love of God to pray for their husbands. I see husbands praying for their wives. Lord God, hallelujah, carry us through. Father, show me how to love my wife beyond, hallelujah, this world, but beyond the kingdom power. Father God, help me love my children. Children, help me love my parents, Father, and honor my parents and respond. Father, help me be a good mother and father. Leaders, hallelujah, help me respond, Father, to every word that you've spoken. Holy Spirit, bring remembrance of your goodness and your truth in our lives, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When I leave this room or when we leave this building, Father, every thought that the enemy comes, we hold it to the captivity of the obedience of Christ. As that centurion stood, he held onto the word of Christ. Every word that's been spoken, Lord, we're going to hold it to our hearts and we're going to say, Father, you said, show me your Father. Show me, Father. Come on. A season of response is coming to your life because you're not a victim with Christ. You are an overcomer. It's not you to be blown by the situations in life or the wind, the left or right, or to be uncertain nor worried. For the Father is your Father. And He is almighty. And He knows exactly what you've been through, and He knows what you need. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the equipping of the Holy Spirit right now. Hallelujah. We thank you for the power, Lord Jesus, that we can do something because you did something. Now I can do something. Hallelujah. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. If you want prayer this morning, hallelujah. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. We got Debs here, mighty woman of God, ladies. If there's some things right now, I just really feel the strength. As Jake was just saying, the women and the children. Some people are on the very edge. And I just heard the other day that when you're on the very edge, you're right at the edge of breakthrough. So if you think you're at the edge of your mind, I just want to tell you right now, you are at the edge of breakthrough in your life. And I want to encourage you to hold on. To hold on and trust. Come on. It's not over. Almighty is on your side. Jesus is on your side. Lift your head up, for the redemption is near. Hallelujah. Lift your head up, for the moment is here. Hallelujah. You have fought a good fight. And now the Redeemer has come. The King of Kings and the Lord has come. Hallelujah. To push it over the edge and to lift you up. Father, thank you. Hallelujah. For the flood of grace. Hallelujah. That sets us free. And not only sets us free, but throws the chains as far away from us as even possible, Lord God. No more. You contend and you fight and you pursue. Hallelujah. And you don't give up hope. Hallelujah, because the Lord has spoken and He has set us free, and you are here today. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want to come up for prayer, man, or if you have something, but we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. We thank you for your Spirit in the house. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.